Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss block 5, the contemporary. In this block, we will talk about unit 14 with the title Making and Unmaking of Genres. Today, we will discuss about the context in which genres are reformulated by women writers and also the manner in which some women writers reformulated these genres. Let us start by defining the term genre. Genre is a term that refers to types or classes of literature. They can also be understood as a set of codes which enable a reader to relate to a work and respond to it. For instance, a comic play, through the implicit conventions and codes, evokes a particular kind of reaction from the audience. To begin with, genres were classified into 3 types. These are lyric, epic or narrative, and drama. Within this broad division, many subgenres were identified. For instance, a comic play or a tragicomedy. Eventually, through the Renaissance and the Restoration period, new types of literary genres emerged. These included the novel, dramatic monologues, etc. By the mid-20th century, there was an awareness that each literary work was unique. Women writers started looking at genre in terms of the canon and started asking whether it is possible to consider works written by women from a non-canonical point of view. This was because literary history often privileged certain forms of literature as exclusively male, while those produced by women were seen as less literary. This awareness had a lot of implications for women writers. For instance, with restricted access to literary production, especially during the 18th century, women turned to private forms like journals, diary writing, and letters. In other words, while genres offer a constructive framework within which women writers could locate their works, the social and cultural context in which the women were writing allowed them to alter the codes and conventions of the genre. Such literary spaces are emerging as powerful ways in which women writers are able to articulate their concerns. For example, due to a widespread interest in post-colonial literature, works written by people of color and people from historically marginalized groups expanded the scope of what is now considered as literary. Therefore, we can say that there are primarily 3 ways through which genres are made and unmade in women's writing. Now let us look at these 3 ways. The first one is by expanding what is considered as literary. Example, children's writing, journals, travel writing, science fiction, and life narratives are now considered as being within the literary canon. More recently, flash fiction, blogs, etc. are also being analyzed from the literary perspectives. The second way is subverting genre expectations and mixing between cultural forms of narratives and accepted genre conventions. Examples, oral traditions and fiction. The third way is through the impact of new media and technology. Example, social movements focusing on women's issues like the Me Too movement have resulted in the production of new work, bringing greater attention to issues being faced by women in the workplace. Now let us have a quick discussion on gender and genre and the relationship between these two. Works of literature are often being grouped together and classified according to some principle of genre like drama or novel, etc. Therefore, genres are often considered as attempts to establish a set of expectations so that literary works can be organized into certain categories. However, genre categorization by itself is often debated because of multiple and overlapping genre possibilities. So one genre overlaps with the other genres. So it's often debated about distinct genre categorization. Further, as mentioned in the earlier section, some genre forms were considered to be essentially male dominated. Women writers responded by subverting the genre expectations in order to highlight the injustices inflicted on women because of gender. Lady Mary Montagu's reasons that induced Dr. Swift to write a poem called The Lady's Dressing Room, which was published in 1734, is one such instance. Jonathan Swift has published a satire, The Lady's Dressing Room, in 1732, in which he bitterly and ironically criticizes the contemporary persons and institutions to show that women are artificial. However, Lady Mary Montagu's response symbolized a subversion. Though she used the genre prevalent during the times, she subverted the expectations of the audience by focusing the discussion on supposed inadequacies of the narrator who was describing the lady's dressing room in Swift's poem. In response to Swift's poem, she used satire and intellect to write the sexual, textual, and intellectual injustices inflicted against the woman. In other words, she used the very literary traditions which excluded women to hit back. It is important to note that gender distinctions in education and experience have influenced the lives and works of women authors. Certain genres like poetry and drama were seen as being more dependent on a formal education than others. For example, the novel. This also explains why women writers in the 18th century could successfully turn to novel writing, precisely because this was a new genre with relatively new rules, a short tradition, and almost entirely accessible. For example, Elizabeth Gaskell's novel Ruth, which was published in 1853, spoke about the tragic story of an unmarried mother. The book was a compassionate portrayal of a fallen woman who is typically seen as a social outcast. Gaskell had stated that the book was prohibited in her own household and two of her acquaintances had burnt the copies of the book. Now let us talk about the impact of culture and tradition on genre. Another important aspect that needs to be considered is that of culture and tradition, an aspect that emerged especially with reference to post-colonial consciousness. While most of the genres were seen as Western constructs, the existing forms of literature in the colonized countries often clashed with such forms, thereby leading to a hybridity in the genres. For instance, the Native American writer Paula Gunn Allen used the term interlocking categories instead of genres for Native American literature in her seminal work The Sacred Hoop, which was published in 1986. Apart from the genre-based approach, aspects of culture and tradition must also be considered. In the process, the role played by women in the social and the cultural setup is often interrogated. Carolyn Miller's work on the social-political approach to genre theory has been very influential, especially with the emergence of the new media. Her main argument was that rhetorical criticism had not provided clear guidance on what constitutes a genre. She observed that a rhetorically sound definition of genre must be centered not on the substance or the form of discourse, but on the action it is used to accomplish. In a co-authored article titled Blogging as Social Action, a Genre Analysis of the Weblog in 2004, she exposed some of the difficulties of applying genre theory to new media. Women writers have adapted to these evolving ideas on genre theory for achieving what Carolyn Miller said, social action, by adapting the genres to highlight issues faced by women and document such narratives. Now, let us consider some women writers who have adapted, subverted genres for this purpose. Let us first talk about fiction. As far as fiction is concerned, women writers subverted the existing genre conventions in two ways. Technology and social media provided new platforms for writing and publishing narratives. Jennifer Egan is an American novelist and short story writer whose novel, A Visit from the Goon Squad, published in 2010, had won the 2011 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. The novel was characterized by some unconventional narrative choices, like a chapter being entirely formatted in Microsoft PowerPoint presentation. Her short story, Black Box, which was published in 2012, was described as short poetic exercises where the tweets are hung together to form a narrative. As she says, every piece in her novel had to be different, narrated from a different point of view. Another way in which fiction as a genre was subverted was by reworking myths, fairy tales and fables. Fables by themselves are seen as a part of folk literature, offering some kind of a life lesson based on morals, ethics and cleverness. In Feminist Fables, published in 1981, Suniti Namjoshi created and repurposed the fable by infusing a feminist purpose to the stories, offering life lessons for girls and women. Ruth Vanita is an Indian feminist critic, literary historian and poet. She translated the contemporary retelling of Rajasthani folk tales written by Vijayadan Ditta in The Dilemma and Other Stories, which was published in 1997. Another area in which women writers subverted the existing genre conventions is science fiction. It was generally believed that science fiction was almost exclusively written by men until the feminist movements of 1960s and 70s. In fact, science fiction is one of the genres which has been continuously reshaped since the time of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which was published in 1818. Frankenstein has often been described as one of the first true science fiction novels. It was one of the earliest works which dealt with the impact of technological progress, especially when humans are not able to control it. Ursula Le Guin was an American writer who wrote what she described as speculative fiction. In her work, she subverted the rules of fiction to foreground issues related to race, gender, and sexuality. Ursula's The Left Hand of Darkness, published in 1969, subverted many assumptions made by the genre. She imagined a world whose human inhabitants have no fixed gender. Margaret Atwood, a Canadian writer, explored the ideas of gender, power and identity by rewriting myths and fairy tales set against a dystopian world set in the future. For instance, The Handmaid's Tale, published in 1985, told from the first person perspective of Offred. This is a novel that is set in a future version of the United States, which is totalitarian in nature. Now let's talk about graphic novels. A graphic novel is a type of text that combines words and images. Merriam-Webster defines a graphic novel as a fictional story that is presented in comic strip format and is published as a book. With the turn of the 21st century, a large number of writers wrote graphic novels. However, Marjane Satrapi subverted the genre to a large extent when she used the graphic novel to give a first-hand account of what it was like to be raised in Iran during the 1980s and 1990s. Persepolis, which was published in 2000, was an autobiographical graphic memoir which also turned out to be a primary source detailing life in Iran during the revolution and the Iran-Iraq war. Now let's quickly move on to drama. Though theater as a form existed for many years, the role of women in theater was pretty much restricted. While women were strictly prohibited from being on stage, there were hardly any instances of women playwrights writing plays. Female playwrights in Europe emerged during the latter half of the 17th century. Apraven was very instrumental in bringing women's voices and perspectives into the spotlight by using women-centric themes in her plays. During the 19th and early 20th centuries, women playwrights found more opportunities to present their plays on stage, but there were oppressive systems of gender discrimination which operated in the theatre. Carol Churchill, a British playwright, is often described as theatre's disruptor. While raising a family in the 1960s, she started off by writing radio plays. She was one of the earliest of the experimental women playwrights who used non-naturalistic methods to explore and dramatize sexual politics and feminist themes. Owners and Top Girls are a couple of her works. Let us talk about feminist non-fiction like life narratives and testimonials. A work of nonfiction aims to represent truth and accuracy regarding an information, events, or people. Authors can choose to represent the events either objectively or subjectively, and sometimes even in the form of a story. Women writers adapted nonfiction in order to throw light on unique circumstances which often restrict the freedom of women across different cultures. Most of the women writers chose the autobiographical mode of writing, which allowed for presenting private matters to public audience. For example, Black is the Body, Stories from My Grandmother's Time, My Mother's Time and Mine, published in 2019 by Emily Bernard, is a collection of essays which are autobiographical in nature and speak of the experiences of a black woman married to a white man and her varied experiences, while including stories from her mother's and grandmother's time as well. Closer home, Urvishi Buttalia, on the other hand, used the oral narrative form to historicize the partition stories in her The Other Side of Silence, Voices from the Partition of India, which was published in 1998. Online media and social media in particular have emerged as spaces from where women are able to articulate their experiences. This has initiated debates on many issues like women's safety, workplace harassment, sexism in media and academia, etc. Twitter, Facebook, etc. have emerged as platforms on which discussions happen on a range of issues. For instance, in October 2017, the Me Too movement against sexual harassment in the entertainment industry witnessed the participation of many high-profile actresses who documented their experiences of sexism and oppression. Seen from the genre perspective, it becomes difficult to classify such work as strictly testimonials or life narratives. What emerges here is genre as social action, wherein a narrative in the virtual space is leading towards an action in the offline world or the real world. Let us now quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. We identified the contexts in which women writers reformulate genres and the contexts in which such reformulation happens. Though we only talked about select women writers, the list is by no means exhaustive. There are a lot of other women writers. There are many women writers who are successfully adapting genre conventions to narrate powerful stories, and their work is being discovered almost on a daily basis. This is the end of Unit 14, Making and Unmaking of Genres. Thank you.